Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
That's right, 11:35, everybody. We will have the Wintrust Business Lunch on this first day of the second half of the year. Thrilled to be joined by Mitch Carr. He is the anchor of Early Morning on News Nation. First of all, Mitch, welcome to Chicago, my friend.
Thank you very much.
We were just talking off air. You've lived in a lot of places. You're from Virginia originally, right?
I am from Richmond, Virginia originally, but I have lived in North Carolina twice. I've lived in Florida. I've lived in Texas. I've lived in Las Vegas. And most recently, I came from Phoenix. So I know this country really well. This is a part of the country I don't know. I'm looking forward to exploring it.
Yeah, and as we were talking about, boy, all those cities seem a lot warmer than this one in the winter.
Ready?
You ready for it? You're here in the summer. This is great.
This is what I was trying to say. It's like Game of Thrones here. Everyone is like, winter is coming.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm just, you know, I was living in Scottsdale a month ago, and it was 105 degrees.
Uh-huh.
So I'm coming here, and it's going to be 5 degrees.
Yeah.
And I don't know. My wife is Venezuelan. She was born on the equator. She's not looking forward to the winters at all. I'm like, I prefer the cold to the heat because you can just put more clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point when it's too hot, it's illegal to take too many clothes off, so you can't do very much there. So,
Jack, can you clip this part where he says, oh, you can just put more clothes on, and then we'll go in the winter, and we'll revisit this conversation.
Yeah, bring me back in January and see if I can put enough clothes on to keep myself warm.
You also said 5 degrees, and I'm like, that sounds pretty balmy on a cold
January. Are we going below zero here?
Oh, yeah, we go below zero here. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That sounded very dirty the way I said that. I didn't mean it that
way. That's not in my contract.
You'll be mysteriously gone through January and February.
Yeah, I negotiated some extra PTO. So, yeah, I'm going to take some long vacations in January and February.
But you
can watch me now while the weather's nice.
Yeah, tell us about the show.
So it is an hour program. It starts at 5 a.m. Central for your viewers and at 6 a.m. on the East Coast. We're nationwide. So, you know, I was waking up and watching us in Arizona before I got the job at, you know, 3 in the morning. But, yeah, we're just started. It was just started this week, and we proceed Morning in America, and I am co-hosting Morning in America with Adrian Bankert. So you can see me for 3 hours every weekday on News Nation.
You enjoying it so far?
I love it. Yeah. I'm coming from a local TV station where I was doing my own camera work. So
MMJ.
We're going out with a camera and a tripod and setting up my own microphones, and I come here and I get to sit and talk, and that's what I do best.
Right.
So I'm happy to do that.
And of course our listeners very familiar with what News Nation does, you know, that down the middle approach and giving you both sides and sort of things. What's your show? What's the feel of your show early in the morning? Because it's quite a hearty person that's up that early in the morning watching.
Absolutely. Well, usually it's somebody that's going off to work and they don't want to hear too many opinions. You know,
right.
I'm not here. Do you want to wake up and be angry? No.
No.
You want to wake up and know what's going on, and then you want to move on with your day. So we're going to give you a smart and balanced news show, and we're not going to give you that. Sorry, I was about to say something I'm not supposed to say on the radio. I don't want to get you guys an FCC fine on my first appearance, but
no, we don't want to.
We don't want to give you the noise.
Yeah.
We want to give you a straight down the middle news program that helps you learn something, and hopefully I can entertain you as well, but not with too many opinions.
Right. You have a background in sports too, right?
Yes, I was a sports director in my hometown of Richmond, Virginia for 4 years, and I'm a huge sports fan.
So give us your
Big Ten thing is nuts.
It is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in Big Ten country here, and Big Ten country is not Los Angeles. So I'm very confused by that.
Hey, we didn't think Big Ten country was New Jersey, and then we got Rutgers, and here we are now coast to coast.
Aren't you excited for the Rutgers-USC matchup?
Can't wait for that rivalry
to develop.
You
know, when you have that regional rivalry, you can throw the record books out. Just can't wait for Maryland and UCLA to hit the field. Everyone looks forward to it every year.
Right. Fans that are really against each other, 5-hour flights apart from each other.
Yeah,
exactly. That's how you get those big rivalries going. No, it'll be really interesting to see what happens. So what are your teams? Who are you rooting for? It's okay. You don't have to root for Chicago teams. We don't like people that pretend that they're huge Cubs or Sox fans. We'd rather tell you the honest truth. So who are your teams?
I'll give you a hint on my favorite football team.
Okay.
No one knows what it's called anymore.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
The Washington football team, the national capital. Or the Commanders, or the one that I grew up with was the Redskins.
Right.
But that's been banished now. But yeah, I watched them win a Super Bowl when I was young, you know, as the Redskins. So it's going to be tough to get rid of that for me. The Commanders will be for another generation. Huge Atlanta Braves fan.
They're
world champs. I'm pumped about that. And big Manchester City fan. I like English soccer. And that's my team. It has been since before 2009. There are some pre-2009 fans and post-2009 fans when they were taken over by Dubai, essentially.
Okay.
So, but I was a fan before that. I just want everyone to know. I don't know if there's much crossover between News Talk Radio and European soccer, but I'm just telling you what my teams are.
It's there sometimes. We're obviously the flagship of Chicago Blackhawks. Are you a hockey fan? I know we got some teams out there.
I am a hockey fan. I grew up a Rangers fan, and that was just because I fell in love with hockey in 94, and they hadn't won a Stanley Cup since I think 1940 at
something
the time.
Like that.
So it was the first time in 54 years, and that's how I fell in love with the game. So that's my team.
We are familiar with long gaps and championship droughts here in Chicago.
Hey, but for a while there, the Blackhawks were great.
Oh, they are, and they're going through a rebuild now. Got a new coach. We're all excited about that. Yeah, but yeah, three championships in 5 or 6 seasons there. All right. So what are some of the topics you talked about this morning? Obviously, everyone's gearing up for a big holiday travel weekend, right?
That was the big topic that we had today. Was holiday travel and just what a disaster it is to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're thinking, okay, I'll go on a road trip. Well, gas is $5.50 a gallon, depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
$4.85 is the national average, which means, you know, somewhere in the smaller parts of our listening area and also all over the country, you're looking at least, you know, $4, $4.50 if you're lucky. And around here in Chicago, it's like $6 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm happy to stay here. It sounds like it's chaos out there. I've got a young family. We're exploring Chicago. We're going to be here.
Oh, that's good.
And Godspeed to all of you out there who've decided to hit the roads and are listening to us right now. Thank you. And I hope the traffic isn't terrible.
Yeah, I'm trying to urge everyone to get on the road now so that when I leave at 2 o'clock that they're wide open. And I know that they're talking about for holiday travel, even the airports. We're finally going to see a weekend, they think, that might bring us back to pre-pandemic levels or close to it at least. And that's
pretty surprising. There's 48 million people that are traveling, according to AAA, and that is the most since 2019. So we are back to pre-pandemic levels, and I believe we're above pre-pandemic levels as well, not just in the airports, but on the roads.
Right.
So people have been stuck together for 2 years, 3 years, depending on what state you lived in and how lax or not lax their COVID regulations were.
Right.
So people are getting out, and they don't care what it costs, and they don't care what chaos it is.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because also, you know, and you wonder, why are there so many more delays and cancellations this year if they're just back to the levels they were in 2019. But of course, the labor market has changed completely. Regulations have changed completely. There's less workers to be able to do these things, which is why we're seeing such ripple effects in our traveling situation all across the country.
And we had somebody live at Newark Liberty Airport today, and you can just see the line stacking up behind them. And it's just like, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
And I know I had to travel to get here. You know, my wife flew, I drove with my dad. We drove all, you know, from Phoenix to Chicago. And I filled up 2 trucks at a time with, you know, $6 gas.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, I don't have to drive for another 2 months after this at least.
Yeah, well, here's a game we play in Chicago. You time out your trips to either the suburbs, or if you're heading towards Indiana or Wisconsin or Iowa, you just time them out perfectly so that you get there and get to fill up or get as far away from the city as you can. But it's an interesting game to play. I almost ran out of gas a couple times trying to do that. I do want to get to this Carnival cruise ship story, only because, not to put you on the spot for a crazy story here, for your first time on WGN Radio, but I saw these headlines and I just couldn't bring myself to open them, but I did want to know all the details. So what happened on this ship, Mitch?
All right, so you have a cruise ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have all these people that are out there on the ocean and they are trapped together.
For sure.
And the story that we reported today is that there was, let's just say, some marital infidelity.
Okay.
I'm trying to put this the nicest way. Again, I know the FCC is always listening. So some marital infidelity, and there was a confrontation of sorts on the dance floor. And this marital infidelity of sorts was between 3 people, and 60 people were involved in this fight on the dance floor. Of course, there was video of it.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing thing that our reporter has said today, Ileana Diaz was in Miami with this story, and she said, there were no arrests.
What?
And I just said, I'm not 100% certain what part of the ocean this took place in, but I said, well, International waters, yeah. Right? You can kind of do whatever you want.
More than 5 miles out, baby. Yeah,
usually when you have 60 people all fighting each other, there's going to be some sort of repercussion. But it sounds like the repercussion was that they had to dock early and they all had to get off the ship. The ship is already back out.
Oh, it's already gone. Yeah. But not those 60 people? Or?
Somebody has that stateroom where something went down. And hopefully the cleaning crew was in there. That's all I'm going to say.
I was going to say, Mitch Carr from Early Morning on News Nation. Can you stick around a little bit longer?
Yes, sir. That means I didn't fail.
You didn't fail.
They would tell me, thank you for coming by, and please leave now if it was terrible. I hope the rest of you that are listening don't think it was terrible.
5 a.m. All right, let's take a quick break here on WGN. It's Mitch Carr, the anchor of Early Morning on News Nation. And then he continues on Morning in America after that. Mitch, you've probably done mornings before, right, in one of your other TV jobs?
I have actually not done mornings for 10 years. I did mornings in Las Vegas. I remember distinctly riding a zip line with a city council member, yep. as you do in Vegas.
As one does.
And it didn't go well. I did not enjoy my time out there, but there was a different time in my life. I like to tell people you have to be able to fill in the blank. I get off at 8:30 a.m. and now I can blank.
Right.
If you can fill in that blank, you can live a really good life.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was 24 and single. I was going to bed at 6 or 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Vegas. That's no fun. Now I am older than 24. I have a wife. I have a child. I have a dog. I get off and we go hang out in the park.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is what I want out of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes kind of a different kind of cat to get up in the morning, but I am that dude.
Yeah, I did morning TV for like 5 years, and one thing I will say about it that's great, the grocery store is empty when you go there.
Yeah.
There's ways to do it.
You need to get a haircut. You need to go to the dentist. I'm new to town. I got to go to the DMV. I'm not worried about it.
Right, exactly. There you go. You got all the time in the world. Hey, we were talking about serious stories like the cruise ship brawl based off of a menage a trois gone wrong. I think I can say that. But more seriously, we had huge news yesterday, obviously historic. Justice Ketanji Brown on the Supreme Court, sworn on in a very interesting time. It's amazing this all happens this week after about 2 weeks of rulings that really split our country in a couple ways.
Ketanji Brown Jackson, I just kind of wanted to know how long before she comes the notorious KBG. KBJ, rather.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking about the notorious RBG, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg has passed away. Now we have another, three-name judge on the panel, and I kind of wonder when she gets the shorthand nickname.
Well, I think like a lot of people who adored Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a lot of her most powerful opinions that she wrote were in dissent. And, you know, for the most part, that's what we're going to have. And, you know, the ascension of her to the being a justice does absolutely nothing to the makeup of the court. We're still talking about a 6-3 conservative court. So that's really where, for the most part, she's going to make her mark, at least now, is through those dissents, which can be powerful.
Well, but as a student of history, as I am, it's important to note that the executive branch feuding with the court is a time-honored tradition in this country.
Right.
Well, all the way back to FDR, he wanted to pack the court. He wanted to add justices to the court because he had a bunch of things that he wanted to get through. And I think, one of the presidents, it might have been Nixon, referred to them as nine angry men.
I'm sure.
And now it's not nine angry men, but it is nine people, and they're at odds with the executive branch. But they all have to live together. We have this great system of American representative democracy where we have three branches of government. They are co-equal. The legislative branch, the executive branch, the judicial branch, they all have to at some point work together and share power, and it's a system of checks and balances.
Yeah.
So the fact that not everybody agrees, that's the way things were set up. And people get frustrated because things don't move as quickly as they want them to, or they don't change on a dime. And that's what our society wants these days. But that is the way things were made up, right down to the makeup of Congress. You've got the House of Representatives. Every 2 years, those people turn over, and the Senate is every 6 years, and everybody's on a different clock. And the Senate is supposed to be a place for the hot water. I think this is a direct quote from one of the constitutional authors, but it's a place where the hot water, the boiling water of the House gets cooled down.
Mm-hmm.
Things are supposed to be slow, deliberate, and compromising. That's the way the American system is set up. We haven't been doing too well in the compromising lately. I hope we get back to it.
Right. Although we have had more compromise bills this last year than I think a lot of people expected, but you're absolutely right about that. SCOTUS allowing the end of the Trump border policy, I found that interesting, was basically the only victory, quote-unquote, that the Biden administration was able to get out of the Supreme Court. I know that's not exactly how we phrase things, but that was the Biden administration winning their case. But it gives them it's a political football. I mean, it's a hot button issue. I think that the Biden administration, while it is what they wanted to be able to end that policy, it is not the most popular policy right now.
Well, they wanted to be able to end it because they don't think it's humane to have people remaining in Mexico. And the conditions in Mexico on the other side of the border for those that are seeking asylum are really horrific. But the question is now, okay, so the policy is going to be over. You know, the Supreme Court has ruled that you can end it. When do they actually end it? And then what happens? It sounds like to me, and we have to see how things shake out, but it sounds like to me that means you're going to have all of the folks that are remaining in Mexico now residing in the United States, whether they're awaiting asylum claims or what. And I just wonder if we've gone straight from a humanitarian crisis on the other side of the border to creating a humanitarian crisis on our side of the border when we don't have the infrastructure ready to handle as many people are going to be coming across the border. But again, this is not really something I have researched. This is just something that I'm looking into and thinking, that seems like the next step. Okay, they don't have to stay there. Now they're coming over here. What do we do with them?
Right.
How fast can we process them?
Mm-hmm.
And the Remain in Mexico policy helped keep them there so that we could hopefully staff up and be able to handle those folks when they get here. We can't have another situation where you have folks getting separated at the border and they don't know where to find their families and we don't know where to find them when it's time for their asylum claim. That was a bad system. Hopefully we have had time to staff up and fix that problem.
Mitch Carr, the anchor of Early Morning. What's the elevator pitch for people to make sure they tune in?
Well, you're going to work at maybe 6 or 7 in the morning, and you need news, and you need it to be quick and down the middle, and you need it to not be opinionated. We can give you that. I'm on the air at 5 a.m. every weekday, Central Time, and then we're going to be on the air for 2 hours, 3 hours after that with Morning in America. So if you want news and you don't want the opinions, we're here for you.
All right. All right. Have you been to Wrigley or Guaranteed Rate yet?
Both of them.
You've been to both?
Yes. I was there on June 7th to watch the Sox beat the Dodgers 4-0, and then I'm a huge Braves fan. Like I said, so Father's Day, I was there. I was standing right behind.
The one game they won, right? The Braves?
That's right. Yeah. They got beat. They ended a 14-game losing streak, or winning streak, rather, with two losses to the Cubs, who were on a 10-game losing streak.
Yes,
that makes no sense, but the game that I was there, they won, so I'm happy about it.
I won't ask you which one was your favorite experience, unless you want to share.
No, Wrigley touching the ivy? Okay. Oh, that's once in a lifetime. Yeah. Guaranteed Rate. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Shots fired for the Sox fan. Ernie's not going to like that across the glass.
Well, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with the Sox.
No.
But Wrigley, give me Wrigley over Guaranteed Rate any day.
He's not happy about that.
He's
Ernie,
not happy.
Our imaging guy, not too happy.
It's a good thing you're on the other side of the glass. I don't hate the team, man. Yeah. It's the stadium. It could be better.
All right, Mitch. Hey, it's good to meet you. Welcome to Chicago. Congrats, and we look forward to seeing you more, okay?
Thank you.